Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
Well, it is Tuesday night. That means it's Apostolic Christians Night. I have been traveling, so you've seen me in different locations, etc. But I can honestly say, in truth, there's no place like home. I got to tell you, home, I've missed home. Home has been amazing. I kind of came back with a little piece of a bug, but I came back ready to go. Welcome to ABCs of Apostleship 2, Discipling Apostolic Christian. And let's just remember, all of you, make sure you get your book. Now, listen, I told you I want to know about apostolic Christians, and it's really nice that you all have been fasting and prayer meetings and stuff, but I want to know about apostolic Christians. That's what's on my heart. That's what we're doing. So make sure when you contact me, tell me about how you're becoming apostolic Christians. We're getting them all around the world. I thank God for it. I'm excited. People, I'm excited. I'm excited about what God is doing. But tonight, you're going to like where we're going. And I'll tell you why. Because we're going to talk about culture. You know, we have all picked up culture as a buzzword. So tonight we're going to talk about culture. But before we do, I want to remind you to go to my Teachable site and get the teachings on ABCs of Apostleship, Book 1. And if you haven't gotten Book 1, just go there to drpaulaprice.com. And get book one, and it'll take you into all of the others. Well, why do you want to do this? Because it's your soul. It's your soul. And, you know, the Bible said we must believe to the saving of our souls. I want you to let that soak in for just a wee bit. We must believe to the saving of the soul. And before I get any deeper, I want to thank all of you all who have been just encouraging me in my recent awards and recognition. Hey, thank you. And you know why it works? Because you make it work. Because you connect with me. Because we're building on Periscope. We're building on Facebook. We're building on Blog Talk Radio. Great things are happening, and they're happening because you and I together are great. I won't be great without you. And you won't be great without me because God hooked it up that we all are part of the big, massive move that he's having. So you made it happen, and I thank you for it. I really do. I bless you. I bless your children. I bless your hope, your faith. I call you back online. I take away sorrow and sadness. I remove depression and despair. I lift you up out of the ash heap. I lift you up out of the dunghill that the devil wants to put you in. I set your captive soul free. I give you back your mind. I give you back your understanding. I give it back to you as God's apostle because that is part of what I am empowered to do. I impart to you the power to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I pour upon you illumination and enlightenment from the spirit of the living God. I open you up to the Lord's wisdom and truth and shut you down to everything that's not like him. I'm breaking you free today. Today is break free day, and you're going to break free today because God himself sent his son to shed his blood that you may be free, that you may have life and have it more abundantly, that you may walk in liberty and prosperity. God said, beloved, above all things, I wish that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. And part of you all can't prosper materially because your soul's not prospering. Today, we're going to start dealing on that. You're going to get free. We break your household free. I unshackle you from romances that you shouldn't have, from relationships that you shouldn't have, from marriages that should not have been. I command the abuser to leave your house in Jesus' name. I break you free from that abusive spirit and that abusive spouse, that abusive relationship. I set your captive soul free. I command the devil to loose you and let you go. I break you out of poverty. I call my house deal set in Jesus' name. I give you favor to close on your house. I give you favor to close on your business deal. I cover your contacts with favor that you may have the prosperity of God's new creation. Hallelujah. If any man be in me, in Christ, he's a new creature. Jesus said, you are new in him. Old things are passed away and all things have become new. And there is no reason to have a sugar pie Jesus that cannot do what you need him to do and take care of your needs. God did not call you out from poverty to death. Oh, hallelujah. He did not call you out from bondage to captivity. And he said, I've come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. And God wants that to happen. But there are rules and tools. What we haven't given you is the rules and tools of kingdom success. And that's what we're doing here as Apostolic Christians. And so I want to talk to you tonight about that. But before we do, I haven't done this for a while, but I think we need a roll call. I was wondering who's out there. Come on, Prophet Ashley. Which one of y'all? Come on, talk to me.
Portland.
Go on.
North Carolina. Madison, Wisconsin.
Ooh. Devise. Hi,
Devise!
Yes.
Hartford, Connecticut.
That's fine up there. Hi, Hartford.
Marietta, California.
Yes.
Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Ooh, yes.
Detroit.
Uh-huh.
Cypress, Texas.
Hi, Cypress.
Augusta, Georgia.
Yes, Augusta.
San Antonio, Texas.
San Antonio. Hallelujah.
Cincinnati, Ohio.
Yes. So, Providence, you got to
San Diego, California. All right, Gainesville, Florida, Georgia City, Louisiana.
Yes.
Augusta and Kingsland, Georgia.
Yes.
Florida, Tallahassee, Florida, Boynton Beach, Florida.
Woo, I wonder where that is.
All right, let's find out. I didn't have beach in it. That
That sounds good. Doesn't that sound like our beach?
Lexington, Kentucky. Jacksonville, Florida.
Yes.
It's also.
Hi, Jacksonville. That's Pastor Dwan Land. How are you? We were just here, had a great time at her recent prophetic convocation. It was great. We had a good time. Did anybody else signing on? I need to hear from the rest of my life. New York, thank you, home base. Ha ha.
We have telephones,
Oklahoma. Ooh, I like that. Hey, we have bad luck sometimes, Alpha. We have to make a profit as we pay. Because you are good. You're good at what you do. You studied, you researched, you labored, you prayed, you sold, and you sacrificed, and yeah, you even suffered. So go after it, says the Holy Ghost, and go after it with vengeance, because it has been given to you, says God. Woo!
Amen.
That was good.
Thank you.
How you doing, sister? Did you get it?
Oh, yeah, there, amen.
They're my sisters, you know. Hey, got to go after it. There's the kingdom of God. Well, before I get started, I am a few weeks out on my annual Apostolic Summit. Now, I haven't talked about it a lot because I've been so busy, but listen, guys, you all have been registering anyway, so that obviously God is talking to you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, for the Lord our God is good. And so what I want to encourage you to do is not miss this one. It is shifting, you know. It is shifting. My recent Goodwill Ambassadorship Commission is shifting it. You got to come and find out what it means, and come and find out how to be a part of it. Don't miss it. If you're an apostle, you definitely don't want to miss it. Disciple, come. Bring your people, but you should come. What does it mean? It's step-up time. We've been talking about getting out of the walls of the church, and nobody ever told us where we were going. You know, so we went back to being field hands. But God has a plan. You don't want to miss it. Come on, Ashley, tell them about our dates and the location. You can be in your greatest commercial voice.
Well, Dr. Carter. We'll be in Tulsa, Oklahoma, November 16th through the, 16th, 17th, 19th, 18th, depends on how long you stay over.
Uh-huh.
The conference is officially ends on that Saturday in the afternoon. However, we have church on Sunday in the hotel as well as our guests who are staying over. And this is certainly the summit that you do not want to
miss.
We have Ambassador Clyde Rivers.
Yes.
Who will be here for both. He's going to be here for the dignitary dinner as well as the keynote speaker during the event. You.
Me.
Are going to be there.
I thought I put it on my calendar.
Yes,
am I still invited?
You're still invited.
Hey!
Open invitation for you every year.
Okay, I'll call. Okay.
Apostle Andrew Gonzalez is also going to be a guest, a keynote speaker at our event. Minister Tony Mason
yes.
is going to be showing up for praise and worship. Prophet Ursula Wright is also doing.
And you know, she tears it down.
Yes.
That woman just said, if you've been stuck in your praise, if you say, you know, Lord, I've taken so many hits, I'm stuck in my praise, this woman, well, boy, she'll take you out along with our very own prophet, Adia Peterson, who has just been blowing this off the water every year as a praise and worship minister. We have a powerful move of God plan.
Yes.
Go to my website, drpaulaaprice.com. Get all your information. Come on, talk
to you. Can you share why you chose summit instead of conference or gathering?
Well, frankly, it wasn't tough. Well, conference means we'll get together and confer on some things. We're supposed to. We've made it a preacher's town. That's not what they really meant. We were going to get together, confer on some things, exchange information, and learn from each other. They were all supposed to be academic, not just inspirational. They're supposed to be educational and developmental. But, you know, sometimes we just take a buzzword and run with it. I'm going to talk about that in a moment. I looked at the word convention, and it's pretty much, well, you know, you have to already have a group or whatever. So when I started in 2002, I looked up all the terms, and I did it because God was making me an apostle. And because apostles are first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, and so because of that, I knew that God was calling it to be a place where his high powers could come together, minister to each other, feed his body, and feed his other ministers with information and knowledge that will arm them as well as equip them to go to the nations and go into their world. The other reason I chose Summit is because God always met people in the mountains, and Summit is a mountain is a summit. You know, because the top of a mountain is, well, a summit. When Moses went up to the mountain of God, it was a summit. He went up to the summit of God, and he came back with all of the stuff that we're still running on today, a lot of which we still haven't figured out. But that which we have. So I chose that word because it's summit. And you, it's really where you to come and meet the Lord. In the beginning, biblically, was where you came to meet your God. Your God came down, you went up, and you conferred with your God in the peak of the mountain or mountain summit. And that's what happened with Moses. That's what happened with Joshua. That's what happened with Jesus. You know, God just kept everybody that he's taken into his closest and most intimate conversations and revelations will go into that, because then the Son, the Bible says, the glory came down. So I used that term. It wasn't a buzzword for me, because, you know, I don't use buzzwords. I don't, you know, I'm going to research. If I'm going to say something, I'm going to do it. And then when I researched it, I structured ours to do just that, to have some of the strongest voices. And sometimes this may not be it may not be your seasoned voices. You know, God, summits are a place of transition. New leadership always gets found in summits. So summits place transition. We're changing powers. We're changing people. We're changing the way we do things. Moses was changing time and life on earth. When Joshua was taking over the reins, he was changing time and life on earth. When God had inaugurated the 70 elders at the base of the mountain and then halfway up the mountain, again. So it's funny how we have seven mountains and we're still talking about, you know, conferences. That's really interesting. But anyway, that's a whole other discussion. But that is what motivated me. Hey, did that help you guys out there? Periscope? Facebook? And I want to know you all, if it was speaking to you. Because if it's speaking to you, then go to drpaulaprice.com and register for your trip up the mountain with us in November. Near Apostleship Summit. And this is on what? 13th one? I think it's 14th one. Anyway, because we started in 2002. So 14th one. And I'm excited because it's finally getting into the complexion and the texture that God gave me. You know, it's not just, we don't have a preacher talk. It's real training. Real training. You are going to be in groups. You're going to work through stuff. And for people who say God has called them to take Jesus to the world or to minister to the body of Christ or even the world, you probably need to know how to do that. Most people don't know how to think. So we have thinking things. We have trainings on that. We have collaborations. It is not a preacher spot. I'm going to say this to you again because, see, I don't need a preacher spot. Y'all, we got to hit Periscope and just be preached at all day long. But there's a time for you to be taught, and there are times for you to be challenged. And if you only grow through challenges, which is why God has yet to dispense with trials and, you know, stuff like that. He needs trials so that you know that you're ready to do what you're called to do. And all of you who have been out there, those of you who are listening to me today, do me a favor. Reach out to your people and tell them what the summits do for you. Tell them where they're different. Tell them why they're different and what you got, because they're powerful, powerful seasons. And this year is going to be one of the most powerful of all. I'm so happy to have Ambassador Rivers with us, because that's the whole essence of apostleship. You know, we sit by our sovereign to take care of issues that pertain to him and his kingdom, not just to make us feel good. You know, we don't have those. I got a feeling running around the place and carrying on. Because when it comes time for you to face off with an adversary, if you're running, you're either running through them, running to them to get the advantage, or running from them because you've lost. So we're not doing that. We want you to learn. Bring your leaders. If you have a network, bring your leaders. Bring your teachers. Bring your prophets, apostles, and intercessors. Bring them, because you need all of that to make it. And since 2017 has been marked as a year of pivotal change, you don't want to miss what's going on. Hallelujah.
Well, we had our group, Pastor Barbara. She brought her team on the bus.
Yes, she did. Was that a gorgeous bus?
Yeah,
or what? I was like, wow, the bus was amazing. You know, our buses have gone quite a bit.
The front desk, so they pulled up. And I said, is there another conference?
No, I did.
She said, no, Dad, I think that bus is your group.
No, I was like, ooh. But that was a sharp bus, I'm telling you. Powerful woman of God. So, again, don't miss it, because it's going to be amazing. Now, I want to talk to you about culture, because part of why we're having difficulty and understanding what is Christ, what isn't Christ, how Christ thinks, how he doesn't think, what's Jesus and what isn't, is because we have been indoctrinated by culture. And we've made culture sound like such a wonderful, innocuous term. Isn't it wonderful? This is our culture. This is American culture. And hey, If that's the term we want to use, go with that. But let's look at some roots. Now, I've told you before, you know, the apostolic Christians are smart, but they're not smart because it's magic. They're smart because they're avid learners, not magic, avid learners. Apostolic Christians are going to read everything. They have a voracious appetite for knowledge and information and truth. Something about them says, well, I have to make sure that this is right, that this is accurate, and this is true. Apostolic Christians are also very curious people in the sense that they're not taking everything at face value. Part of why you are stuck is because you didn't have any alternative to the culture that's been thrust down your throat because the church was turning cultural. Your church became cultural. You know, we look at some, we go to church today, and they're more cultural than they're Christ. But we're going to find out what that really means. Wouldn't you like to know what that really means? What is culture? Well, we've talked about it. We're going to talk about it again. One thing apostles are not going to let you do is be comfortable with culture. And the reason that they won't, because culture is a fragmentation of the holism of God. In other words, culture is always polytheistic. It's always polytheistic. It's always humanist. It is always pantheonic, always, because culture is about all the other gods that God kicked out that didn't make it in his world. And so banished to this planet, banished to this world, why do you think there's so many movies about that? You realize that there's a whole lot of movies about that that, you know, Chase and Go can't pay enough for, because that's in the, there's a kernel of, however distorted, truth in those movies, constantly banished, cast out, out of space, and all that kind of crazy. So why do you think that's so popular? Culture. And so we're going to talk about culture. The one thing an apostle is going to tell you about is the culture of Jesus Christ and then the wiles and the stratagems of the enemy. It is our job to tell you about the stratagems of the enemy. Now, whether you want to believe them or not, that's totally up to you, but I personally have dedicated myself to at least giving God's people a choice. If you're only hearing one side of the story, you are not. You don't have an option. You're being indoctrinated. But when you have, listen to all sides and then say, you know what, that's great, I'm well-informed, thank you so much, I still want to do this, now that's you. And that's how God thinks. We often tell people that Jesus Christ came to save the world. He came to save the world in the context of taking, casting out the God of this world and taking, giving humanity an opportunity to seek to know him. Now, why do I say that? Jesus Christ came to give you the right to reject him as well as the privilege. And trust me, he's not going to fall off his throne. I know we paint that picture. He's up there crying, poor boogie. He just don't know what to do because the world just don't know. No. That's not how this goes. God has been God forever. Earth is not his first work. Now, I can repeat these things because I get new listeners every week. By the way, tell your friends, this is going to be good. This is going to be really good. And you're going to understand what our problem is. You're even going to understand what the issue is with this election. See, this whole election issue does not hinge on political views. That's why, and it doesn't hinge on political benefits. God knows we hardly ever get the benefits we vote for. Come on, how many years? We're going to give you the kitchen sink and the moon and the stars, and honey, we barely get a crumb of dust. Because when they come in, yeah, well, everybody knows that was a campaign promise. Okay, that's fine. I don't really care about that. That's not my cup of tea. That's not what I'm called to do. My thing is to make sure we understand that every man walks in the name of his God. Oh, hallelujah. Is that good or is that good? Every man walks in the name of his God. As a Christian, you need to know what God these people are walking in, because those are the gods that will walk into the seats of power and authority over any government. Every man walks in the name of his God. Is that right? Mm-hmm. In the name of his God. And you need to understand that. It's very important that you get that, because if not, you'll continue to be caught up in thinking this is a political battle. It has never been, will never be a political battle, because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. You know? You need to know that. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Now, I'm telling you because you need to recognize this thing that we're fighting, this battle we're fighting, that we're called a cultural war, not just cultural. You know? Not just culture. There it is, just for you to know. I want to find this passage because you should know what God is talking about. And it's in the, I want to say, where is Zechariah? I want to make sure, okay, Micah 4:5. I love this. Now, different translations say it differently, but I'm going to read this to you, and you can go to your own Bible. For though all people will walk each in the name of his God, so we ourselves will walk in the name of Adonai, or the Lord, forever and ever. Now, you have got to recognize that this is important. For all people will walk, everyone, in the name of his God. And we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. You have got to see, that's a powerful statement. You know, isn't that powerful? Everybody, I don't care what they're saying. So that means that everybody's talk, walk, sneeze, cough is always inspired by the thing they're venerating in their heart. And it's up to us to decide if we know what people are worshiping as their God. And just because they name the name of Jesus Christ, just because they say they're Christians, does not make them Christians. It makes them, and not only that, but Jesus said there's going to be many Christs, false Christs. He said a lot of Christs come. We have to vet Christians today, people. We, you know, the apostles, hallelujah. I want to give you one more passage because I think that you would like it. Because God has a phrase that says that, and I believe it's Jeremiah 2, where he talks about the nations changing their gods. I hope I can find it. Anyway, I'm going to have them look for it because it's important for them to find it. But having a nation, he said it's a bitter thing for a nation to change its God. That's a bitter thing. See, but we don't know that. I love it when people tell me, well, you know, Christianity, well, those people were not really Christians. They were sent in the name of Christ. They did not bring another God over here. Now, whether they were good Christians, bad Christians, half Christians, quarter Christians, I don't know. All I'm telling you is they brought the name of Jesus Christ. And that is the foundation of this particular thing. I know we want to talk about all the other things. We're talking about all the Messiah stuff and whatnot. Well, you know, the devil was in the tree. God created the world perfect and still made a tree for him. So there's always going to be a spot of God somewhere. I'm telling you that Christianity is what got on that boat, come on somebody, and came over here for religious freedom to establish Protestantism. And we keep letting people talk this out. Have you ever said, well, what are we being converted from? America is not a Christian nation. What kind of nation are we? Are you saying we're not Christian? And what are we, polytheistic? Because that's not what was born over here. Pantheonic? That's not what was brought to this land. Hallelujah. And for those of you blessed little African-Americans who want to say that it's white man's religion, I want you to know that Christianity started over in the black part of the world. Y'all kicked it out because Christianity was in Africa before it got to Europe. Thought I'd say. Come on, y'all never get in my heart. So you know how I get. Now, come on. I have to. That was nice. I need some. Come on, warm me up. Because you want to say I don't believe in Jesus Christ because he was a white man, but we can go with that. I can even go one better for you. If Adam was a black man, he also was the first man to turn on Christ. And that was in Africa. But But God didn't give up. Aren't we glad he didn't give up? His little feelings might have been hurt, but he came on, kept on moving. And he moved to a nation. And come on, Paul said the same thing. Paul said, from now on, I'm going to the Gentiles. Y'all don't want him. So you all can listen to all of that ethnic rhetoric all day long. I'm telling you, history does not bear that rhetoric out. Are they still loving on me?
Well,
when people tell me that, I was like, are you kidding me? And then when we get up here the first time, we get a little bit of freedom. The first thing we do is kick out Jesus again. We keep kicking him out. Wondering why he's going to pay our bills. Somebody has to say it. Well, I just, the so-and-so don't like black people. Black people don't like black people. That's why we keep killing each other. We keep beating up each other. But that's a whole other thing. But if you want to talk about Christianity being a white man's religion, because the black man threw them out, if that's what you believe. Because I know too many African Americans who are thriving in Jesus Christ. Thriving. Love the man, big ministry, big business, big everything. But see, I need to set some of my brothers free. Because see, you all listening to some of these preachers, and you're not listening to with the ear to hear. I'm telling you, because we need to know that. I'm telling you, I watched a show one time. This thing shocked me. I was in Jersey, and the movie was on, and they were having this discussion, I think, of the South African and the European guy. I'll never forget one line in that thing. Woke me up. I had to research it. I said, they got to be lying. He said, while your people were still running around in caves, we had Christianity. And we had churches in Africa. So I didn't throw them out. Some people throw them out. Clearly Europe didn't throw them out. So, you know, they just started throwing them out. Now, you know, he got to go here. And guess where he's going back to? He's going back home where he began. Hallelujah. Isn't that powerful? Because God said, I'm taking out of the nations of people called by my name. The nations, not just one little continent and one little piece of so-and-so. God is God of all. And if you keep making him like you, you'll never know what makes him omniscient, omnipresent, hallelujah, and omnipotent. God is omni. He can show up everywhere in the planet at once in a way that fits us. Because God is God. He holds the patent on all human physiology. He holds the only patent, the sovereign patent. Ah, I love it. I love it. Isn't that good?
Mm-hmm.
I need you to understand because this is important. Are they flowing with me?
It's you and Ava.
Tell me it's not so. I'm open. Open it up. I'll open for you. Tell me it's not so. Because when you look at our history, that's where it was. The Ethiopian eunuch is real. He was black. He took white Jesus, Jewish Jesus, to his land. Set it on fire. Let's get our facts straight. Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. Oh, come on and love on me now. I know some people just don't love their hatred. They can't get free if you pay them. If I gave you $1 million, you would turn it down. I'm talking about you love your beliefs and your convictions. But for those who have an ear to hear, let's recognize, let's stop doing our God cheaply. Our God is not biased. He is not racist. He's not prejudiced. He said all souls are mine. He said, I take out a nation of all souls. He prophesied for years, every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue. When the Holy Ghost fell, the Holy Ghost didn't fall on a race. The Holy Ghost fell on all nations. Oh, A-L-L. They said there was dwelling in Jerusalem at the time. Didn't they say that? Dwelling in Jerusalem at the time of people from all nations because it was a high holy day. Now, we just remember those that was in the upper room, 120. But they all heard it and came out, priests, those started coming into God. And they did not say, wait a minute, let me check my bloodline. Hold on. Anybody said, they said, what must we do to be saved? All nations. That's Jesus Christ broke the rules, people. Pentecost broke the rules, somebody. Help me. Pentecost broke the rule, because God always got their people either through war and conquest or through birth, and Jesus did neither. And they didn't go hunting. Evangelism began with Christianity. It wasn't the way of the God. They were proselytizing. We evangelized because we didn't want to have good news. Oh, this man is awesome. So the next time somebody tells you it's a white man religion, you ask a white or a black man, kick him out. Help me, somebody. Y'all still loving on me? Because this is what reconciliation means. It means settling our business and handling our business with God and his son. God is every color. God is every nation. God is everything because he's God. Otherwise, why be God if you got somebody who can out-God you? Nobody can out-God God. Hallelujah. Is this all right? Are they flying with me? Come on now.
Yes. I
don't know if
you're gonna run today.
You know what? I'm warming up. Ask them, are you running? I wanna know who's running out there.
Yeah, I think the murder's
See, we're so you know what, the first man seems right until the second man tells this part. And so we haven't had the other side of the story. We've had the hate Jesus side of the story. Now let's talk about the love Jesus side, because a lot of people on this planet love Jesus Christ. They are not trying to get rid of him. We still have a lot of people who love Jesus Christ. Now, they don't know what to do with him. They don't know how much of him they want. That's fine, but he's still Jesus. He's still Jesus. I got some letters. Yay! Go, Jesus! I got me some runners out there. Run on. Run in the face. You know, God could not have persuaded me with half of the doctors that they preached, with many of the doctors I heard in the church. But half of the doctors I hear in the church, God couldn't have kept me saved on that. That's why he can't keep a lot of y'all saved. Because you don't know how God he is. You don't know how powerful he is. You don't know why he's Alpha and Omega. You don't know why he's beginning and the ending. You don't know any of those things. And that's what apostolic Christians must know. There is something that God did through those apostles that backed down all of those other religions. There's something that he did. There's a power that he left in the planet. And you know that power was not in man. It was the power of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost was backing every word they said. The Holy Ghost came with dreams and visions, and the angels of God showed up and did what they had to do. And I'm speaking to you from around the world. The Holy Ghost has not left the planet. And you can turn around. I don't care what you can turn. You can fly missionaries, etc. We are, you know, we'll pray about that. But I want you to understand, you can't kick out the Holy Ghost. And he is still making babies. He's still making Christians. The Holy Ghost is making Christians right now. As I speak, he's making Christians. And he's making them all over the world. And he's going to make more Christians and more Christians, because God said, I'm going to take out of the nation of people for my name. He's the God of all nations. And God loves every single nation out there. There's not one that he does not love. His son did not say, just give me the pink. Okay, just give me the blue. Just give me the orange. Just give me the brown. He didn't say that. Because he acts like a creator. It's all mine. I got it back. Give it back to me. It's mine. He loves us, people. He loves us. And every apostle should be able to let you know how serious God is about his family and how serious he is about his son, Jesus. See, you all have bought into the, well, God don't love Jesus any more than he loves you. That is a lie, L-I-E, lie. Because you didn't get on the cross. We can't even get you to leave your family home. We can't get you to get your kids in church. We can't get you to pray. We can't get you to read the Bible. Are you kidding? Jesus gave his life. He faced off with everything for his father. And nobody has equaled that yet in heaven, on earth, and then beneath the earth. And yet he loved him. God said, because of what he did, God has given you a name above every name. If you want, God has crowned you with all the blessings, all of this wisdom and honor and glory and whatnot. He's not saying that to you. He's not saying that to you. He's saying, hold fast till I come. You better hold on. He said, finish the race. He said, finish the course. He said, stay with the Lord. He said, cleave unto the Lord your God. He's trying to get you to love him and your neighbor. No, God, when somebody says that, I'm like, don't, no. God has no favors. God does have favors. He favored David. Oh. He did. He said he did. He favored Isaac over Esau. God has favors, and you know what his favors are? Those who love him and will give it all to him. The more you lay down for God, the more God is going to call you into him as his favor. But don't ever get it in your mind that you and Jesus Christ are equal. You're not. Because see, when you lay down and die, we're going to plant you, put you in a coffin, and go on with getting and cashing your insurance policy. Jesus laid down. If they paid the insurance the day after he died, they got the insurance company just made the money, lost the money because man came back. You see how we don't know how God our God is? That's why we don't understand how God can pick what he picks and use what he uses. God has used crazy people all the time. Do you know when David was running from Saul and he had to save his life and he was being, you know, on his kingly track? The Bible said he got crazy. That he literally acts crazy. Why? Because that's what it took to get the job done. Let me go to my screen. We only have a few minutes. Hallelujah. Let me find the screen. Because, you know, I got a lot going on here. Amen. There we go. Now we can find the screen. Amen. In a minute. You know, it's not acting right. There we go. We're at the screen now, guys. Amen. Did we get there? We got there. We are discipling apostolic Christians. God needs you to be an apostolic Christian for him. And he needs apostolic Christians to take back his kingdom. He needs Christians who were born of the blood of Jesus Christ, the water of his word, and his Holy Spirit. He needs that. God needs Christians that are going to fight for his son's inheritance, not turn it over to darkness, not turn it over to uncleanness. Not turn it over to unrighteousness, immorality, witchcraft, and all of that kind of crazy stuff. Those stuff, you know, those things are not new. We keep making it like it's new. It's not new. But look at the screen. Matthew 28:18-20. And when he said, go make disciples of all nations. Make disciples of all nations. Teaching them, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teaching them, hallelujah, to observe everything that I commanded you. When Jesus gave that, it was to 11 folk, 11 apostles. Trust one man, you know, he sold out the Lord. We are to disciple the nations, Acts 26:18, to open their eyes. This is where we are today. This is with Paul's commission. Paul wasn't there at the go make disciples. He was there when God slapped him off the horse, and he said to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. And I like the ISV version. You will help them understand and turn them from darkness to light and from Satan's control to God so that their sins will be forgiven and they will receive a share among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Now, here's what happened in our last apostolic reformation, restoration, restitution, information, revelation, whatever we have. People are still dark. Sad part is that they don't know God from Satan. That is an apostolic failure. Our job is to let you know what is Satan and what is God. And we don't. And you know how I know it? Because you still don't know why you can't put off ugly tattoos on your body. You don't know that Satan's control because you're sporting his emblems. You don't know. You're proud of yourself. You still don't know, ladies, why you don't need to walk around with yoga pants on and no underwear, because that's a goddess thing. That's goddess attire. You are still under Satan's control. The flesh will always be under temptation, but you have to recognize what God's issues are. Apostles must know God's issues. That is our job. We must know when our king is under threat. We must know when his kingdom's at risk. We must know when his people are being imperiled. We must know that, and we must recognize it. We must also understand that it's a mind game. 2 Corinthians 10. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. Against the knowledge of our God. But I like the next one. Being ready to punish all disobedience when first our obedience is fulfilled. Paul said that God literally made him an apostle to make the Gentiles obedient to the faith. We don't know that. That's nations. To make the nations obedient to the faith of God, to the faith of Jesus Christ. To make them an offering that Almighty God can receive back into his everlasting world. It's a tough job. It's not fun. It's not fun when you're facing off with the popular thing, because adversary is always popular. Apostles are discerned by their allegiance to Jesus Christ. Oh, that's so good. Apostles are discerned by their allegiance to Jesus Christ. When I hear apostles talking about, I'm going to vote for this woman who believes in abortion, who believes in and homosexuality, who believes in all these, and these things are flat out against Christ, that's an allegiance issue to me. I pledge allegiance to my Christ. I pledge allegiance to my God. That's an allegiance issue. Apostles are supposed to settle their allegiance issues before they stand before you. Well, I'm just going to vote for so-and-so because it seems right. Then you're not an apostle of Jesus Christ. I don't care what anybody says, because I would not do that to my God. I don't care if I did not understand what so-and-so was saying or not saying. If I knew it was God, and I would know it's God by knowing that you're not killing his generations, you're not perverting his sacred institutions, you're not trying to rob his people, you're not casting legislation that's going to kill his church, you're going to kill his kingdom. That's how I know. I'm putting you on a Holy Ghost assignment. Go and look at all the legislations against the church and look at where they're coming from. Look at how many laws this particular administration passed to destroy the church of Jesus Christ. And then look at your opponent that's running now. Look at Ms. Clinton. Look at how she's doing. She does not like Christians. She does not like Christianity. She does not like church. She does not like your Jesus. And you all need to know that, because as long as she's not in office, all she can do is dislike us. But when she gets in office, she can destroy us. She doesn't like us. It is a fact. It is a fact. It is a documented fact. She does not like Christians, and she does not like Christianity. I don't know why we didn't do anything to her. You know, we still love the Lord. You know, glory God. So I may not know what Brother Trump is going to do, but I do know her record because she's been in office. Who in the world goes to rehire somebody who took down their company? Who does that? Nobody does that. You're going to rehire somebody who took down the company. You already know they failed in the job. And now they want a bigger office and more reach in your company to have a bigger fail. People, let's think like intelligent folk. Stop thinking with your color, your skin color. Stop thinking with your race. Stop thinking with your pet political things, because trust me, this is not a political battle. It is not politics. It is not politics. No battle ever is, but this one surely isn't. But it is up to you to vote for your Jesus, wherever he might be, whatever it is. You need to take care of your king. You need to take care of what this man gave his life for, his life blood for. I am so not a politician, thank you, Jesus. That's so not my thing, but I am a child of God, and I am loyal to my Jesus Christ. And before you decide whether or not they're going to give you extra money in your little taxes, you need to find out if they're going to keep your God in power, or are they going to turn around and get rid of Jesus. Because if Christianity is not going to be what we're, if that's what we're voting out, then I need to know what's going to take its place. And you, as apostolic Christians, need to ask the hard questions. If we don't have Christianity, then what's going to take its place? If they're legislating us out, then what are they replacing it with? You need to figure out the replacement, because it's a replacement that will persuade you of the game. Apostles will never blend Christianity. They believe in an unblended Christianity that promotes God is monotheistic. God is monogamous. He's got one church, one bride. God is not sitting in heaven with this kind of spiritual era where women don't ever cut a break. We don't get a break on earth. We don't get a break in heaven. When are we going to get a break? And we know we're not going to get a break in hell. There is no eternal biased census levy of female. So he's monogamous. That's our God. He loves all his creatures. He loves all of us. And all of us will come under one body as the bride of Christ. One, apostolic Christians guard their king and his kingdom, and they guard his ecclesia. They guard his citizens and generations, and they guide them to God's culture. We uphold God's government. I'm telling you, do not listen to me just because you like how I sound. I'm funny. I want you to go and research how much legislation is waiting in the wings after this election to take out Christianity. You need to go look it up yourself. Don't run around with somebody. I'm like, well, I don't believe. Look it up yourself. And if you're an apostle and you don't know the answer to those questions, well, we're gonna ask God to get just a little closer to you, because you should know after January 2017 whether or not Christianity is safe or whether it's destroyed. Because every nation walks in the name of their God, and if we're kicking out Jesus, what God is this nation going to walk in? What power are you and I being rolled over to? So, no. And we can talk about, well, you know what? I just don't think that Trump is humble. When it's time to go to war, baby, I don't want a humble general. I want a warrior. I want somebody crazy enough to win. When it's time, when you are, listen, you on the street, somebody's getting beaten you up, you're getting mugged on the street, you are not looking for somebody to say, oh, well, I'll pray. As a matter of fact, if you make it through, you're going to sue them because they were supposed to rescue you. Rescuers have to be bold, and they have to be cocky, and they have to be arrogant because they're facing all the captors. This is not church, people. This is not church. In church, everybody has to behave. In the world, people need to survive. So I am not pleased with a lot of the stuff they said, but you know what I'm pleased about? He's not trying to get rid of our God. He's not trying to kill us as a people. There's no hatred against us. And sometimes if you don't know what else to do, vote Jesus and trust the instrument that he's going to use. And you can say, well, God could use both of them. God can't use somebody who hasn't liked him all their lives. If he does, he has to break their will. Do you know what it takes for God to use somebody who hates him? Go read the story of Pharaoh. For this cause I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you. Let's go and read the story of Nebuchadnezzar, where it talks about him walking around on all fours with fangs and feathers on his head, crazy as a loon. In order for God to break somebody who doesn't believe in him, he's got to kill him, he's got to make them sick, and it's a long process. And even if he does that, the office is still going to run the way it's built to run. Stop telling people, I'm just going to vote and let God do it. No, God's not going to break the law. And if you think God's going to break the law, you need to understand again, because guess what? All these laws that were passed, God didn't break them. Come on here. I'll behave. It was hard. It was hard. I'm holding on. God did not break the law. Some of the people pushed the law on us that we didn't even know was being signed. I had never seen a bunch of African Americans circling in the Oval Office. Never. But we saw them. God is a law keeper. He's not going to break the law. And if he breaks the law in a land, you better know he's about to break that land. because God is a law-abiding God. He works with the systems we put in place. I'm telling you because you need to know. God is a law-abiding God. So this whole idea that we're going to take the little kids thing, and I'm just going to go ahead on and say, any meaning, I don't know, any meaning, let it go. Uh-uh, we're not doing that. Because if you can't vote anything else, you can vote your Jesus. You can vote your God, and you can protect your faith and the heritage for your children and your children's children. This is not just happening to us. This is happening to your grandchildren. This is happening to your great-grandchildren. This is happening to all of the children that are still yet in the loins of these people called the United States. This is not a single election. This is generations. And you have to decide what kind of legacy you want to pass on to your children as Christianity. And you don't get all caught up in it, bro. You know, we don't want to be legalistic. So what do you want to be, illegal? The only officer to be legalistic is illegal. Well, we don't want to be religious. So you want to be what, rebellious? You see, this culture battle has been so smart and so keen. Oh, help me, God. You didn't even realize we packaged everything to fit the flesh. I mean, Pope always mad. Those folk are always angry. So we'll just keep a whole lot of little angry slogans going at them to fuel that anger. So as long as they're angry, they don't think. Rage doesn't think. The reason for rage is to kill rational, make you irrational. No, I'm not a politician, and no, I'm not telling you to do anything. I am saying to you, you have a God that's counting on you to give him, a vote, a seat, some influence, and a say. He's counting on you. And he's not counting on you because you're going to go ahead and we're going to have this whole magical wonderland country. It's not. It's going to be very hard for America in the next 20 years. It's going to be hard. But we can soften some of that by at least keeping the grace of God abounding in our land. That's why I'm doing it. It has nothing to do with the man at all. I'm voting the instrument. I'm not voting the person. I'm voting the instrument. I'm voting the divine plan. I'm devoting the hand of God that can turn this thing. Because, you see, God's people were in captivity a long time. He didn't change that. He put his people in power, but it didn't soften the blow on their lives. And he only put a couple of them in power because God's a law-abiding God. That's why the law of Scripture is that know who you're putting in power over you. Because once they're in power, where the word of a king is, there is power. Hallelujah. How am I doing, Prophet Ashley? Whew,
I was probably about to say nice.
Come on, Cookie. That girl be there with you. I'm going to see you again. We're going to cover some other interesting related things on Thursday and Paula Price show. You don't want to miss it. Prophetic Ed, we're going to talk about the prophet's role in this and how prophets need to see and move and speak for God because we just don't know. Nobody is saying you don't love God because half of us don't know him enough. We've just been so caught up in culture, caught up in doctrine, caught up in rhetoric. We don't know that we haven't heard from the Lord our God. But I'm telling you today you've heard, your God is banking on you understanding that this culture war is against him and when you hear him say they want to take us back to the dark ages, you know what they're saying? They're saying that polytheism is enlightenment, and it really isn't because Jesus Christ erased polytheism. That up until Jesus Christ, there was a polytheistic world and whatever, but Jesus Christ became the one God that did away with that. So don't buy that. And we'll talk about it again. Again, go to my site, Dr. Paula A. Price, if you want to, drpaulaprice.com, if you want to leave a seat, you want to get some material, make sure you get these books. You want to know God's issues? Look at this book, Before the Garden, God's Eternal Continuum. Well, I hate leaving you guys. I just love you so much. I really do. I love you so much. I love your prayers, your joy, your laughter, your humor. I love it all because you're great people. So join me again Tuesday, 11 o'clock Central. Huh? I'm sorry, not Tuesday. Today is Tuesday. Scratch that. Thursday, 11 o'clock Central for the Paula Price Show and again at 8 p.m. for Prophetic Ed. Love you much. And pass this around to your friends and do your homework. Go look up those legislations. God bless you and good night.